While the original political impetus for pursuing health care reform in the United States has always been a quest for fairness, equality, and access to coverage and affordable treatments for all Americans, the Obama administration has another mission it shares with health care providers, reducing costs and controlling the spiraling increases in the cost of health care. Well, part of the cost containment mission in the Affordable Care Act is going to be complicated by something that happened 10 years ago. Medicare Part D was added to existing health care coverage for seniors and the disabled, giving federal reimbursement for the first time for prescription drugs. It's a successful program, but it's also expensive, and one reason why was looked at by ProPublica senior reporter Tracy Weber. Along with her colleagues Charles Ornstein and Jennifer LaFleur, Weber took a closer look at how drugs are prescribed and whether Medicare, which closely scrutinizes other medical procedures it pays for, is overseeing what medicines people are getting and why.
Medicare started in 2003. They passed this thing called Part D that was going to cover prescription drugs. But it was going to be a new program where it was going to be run by a bunch of private insurers. Regular parts of Medicare that cover other parts of health care is run by Medicare. And they get to see all of, you know, the billing, and they know what the conditions are, and they can judge whether they're appropriate. But in Part D, each one of these private insurers just pays for the drugs.
And so the whole oversight mechanisms within Medicare that have been developed over decades just don't exist for this part of the program.
Well, how it's supposed to work is that each of these private insurers would pay for the prescriptions of their members, but they're not allowed to talk to each other or see a doctor's whole prescribing. The bills are paid and then they go up to Medicare, which keeps a big pool of data on all the prescriptions written by all the doctors to everyone who's a Medicare enrollee.
Now, you would think that there would be financial incentives, strong financial incentives, to discourage overprescribing or irresponsible prescribing, but what have you found?
Well, we decided to take a look at this because doctors prescribing is sort of this unknown, unseen thing that only really pharmaceutical companies who buy this information know what doctors prescribe. So we filed the Freedom of Information Act to get this data because we suspected that, you know, given what we saw in Medicaid programs, that doctors might be prescribing inappropriately. And what we found was, in fact, a lot of doctors are doing all sorts of prescribing that is other physicians and researchers would consider inappropriate. One of the big problems is a lot of older adults are in assisted living facilities or nursing facilities, and there's some pressure within those facilities for doctors just to keep a lot of these patients quiet. We also found doctors who were, frankly, involved in pill mills, where there was an incentive for them because patients would come in, pay for an office visit, and they'd write them a prescription. And then we found doctors that were just ill-informed about. They don't keep up on the latest research. They don't know that the drug they're prescribing has a lot of risks. There's a new safer drug. And then we did find connections with doctors having pharmaceutical company relationships that sort of encourage them to prescribe certain drugs.
Why is it the case that Medicare has a difficult time getting this information, but the pharmaceutical companies can basically buy it off the doctors?
No, Medicare actually has all of this information. But when we did a few years ago, we've been running a thing called Dollars for Docs, where we put up a big database of all the payments by drug companies who had to report this information to physicians. But what we could never quite find out is whether or not it influenced their prescribing. We went to a company called IMS Health, which pharmaceutical companies buy information on doctors prescribing from. And we asked to buy that same information. And they basically said, we're not going to sell it to you at any price. And so we decided to approach public programs that have this information. Medicaid programs, Medicare, they have this information available. And say, you know, this is public information. What doctors prescribe in a program paid for or subsidized by taxpayers is public information, and they agreed that it was. So we were able to see this prescribing, but what we found is they have all this information. They do nothing to look at it. They do nothing. They were so eager to make this a program that got medications in the hands of the elderly and seniors and the disabled that they didn't install any sort of safeguards and ways to look for doctors who might be doing inappropriate things.
Well, the theory was that in Part D, the private insurers would mean that the private sector was taking over this, less government intervention. I can hear how the argument goes and remember how it went back, a decade ago or more. But are you seeing a sort of chaotic mess here, or are you seeing a pharmaceutical industry really targeting the enormous amounts of money coming from Medicare as a way of making a lot of money, knowing that oversight is going to be very difficult?
When we talk to Medicare, they say the plans are responsible for this. We're not. That's how it was set up. They kept saying statutory authority keeps them from doing this. They could not show us anywhere in the law that says we can't review our data and look for doctors who are doing something inappropriate. Each one of these drug companies are not allowed to talk to each other. And they can't see a doctor could be prescribing across 30 plans. They only see what he prescribes to their patients. And they send out letters only based on if one patient is getting a drug that's inappropriate. So no one's really policing the doctors. And, you know, if you look in the data, and it was a really labor intensive, but if you see a doctor that's prescribing antipsychotics to patients over 65, 8,000 times a year, it raises a question because they're drugs that are known to cause problems in that age group.
As the healthcare takeaway here, would you say the problem is overprescribing to the extent that lives are threatened, or is it more drugs being used as management tools in facilities like assisted living centers?
So I would say both things. One thing I found really troubling is if you are an older adult and you are in a facility like assisted living or nursing home and you die or something horrible happens, there's no incentive to go and trace that back to a drug and to see how that played out. But CMS, or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, they have told nursing homes, we found that 40% of the antipsychotics prescribed in here are unnecessary and inappropriate. Yet they are not using their own data to go and find the doctors who are doing that prescribing. And what I find worrisome is if you know that there are certain drugs that are riskier or have a more propensity to cause death or falls or bone breaks or disorientation, or even with the painkillers, addiction, those are drugs that you should keep an eye on. And it's actually, you know, you can easily do that by analyzing the data. And that's the worrisome part.
Tracy Weber, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tracy Weber is a senior reporter from ProPublica.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.